مرحبا، welcome to episode 36 of Creative Scene. أنا إليان جابر، الهوست تبعكم، وهذا البودكاست إنتاج حصري لبوديو. بال 2006، ويم دلفوي، فنان بلجيكي معروف بالبروجيكتس الغريبين، عمل بيس بعنوان تيم. الخبرية لهون يمكن ما فيها شيء من الغرابة. تيم هو actually اسم الشخص، تيم ستاينر، والبيس هي عبارة عن تاتو على ظهره لتيم. Actually, هيدا الارت بيس انباعت ب 150 ألف يورو لارت كولكتور ألماني. So technically, ظهره لتيم صار هلأ ملك ريك رينكينج. تيم بوحدة من الانترفيوز تبعه بيقول انه ظهره صار هلأ كانفاس وهو بس عبارة عن الفريم أو الإطار لهيدا الارت بيس. تيم actually كان يقعد ساعات بمتاحف وعامل تور بكذا متحف وغاليريز على مدار السنين، يقعد من دون تياب من فوق ليعرض ظهره. كان في عالم ما يفكروا انه actually انسان قاعد. الخبرية غريبة ولتزيد غرابة انه part من الديل انه من بعد ما يتوفى تيم، الاتفاق هو انه جلدة ظهره تنسلخ وتنحط بactual frame وتنعطى لصاحبها. الخبرية كتير خلتني اسأل حالي اسئلة عن الارت بالاجمال. على الارجح انتو كمان استغربتوا الخبرية، بس صرت فكر هل استغرابي هو بس لأنه يمكن هالشي مش معمول من قبل، أو الفكرة زعجتني قرفتني. صراحة ما بعرف. بيتفكر أنه actually تيم وافق على هيدا الاقتراح وهو حر بجسمه، صح؟ امتين الأرت بيتخطى حدوده؟ وهل أصلاً فيه يتخطى حدود؟ ومين رسم هيدا الحدود بالأساس؟ يمكن بحالة تيم فينا نقول إنه الحدود كتير بلوري بين الأرت والإتجار بأعضاء البشرية. مثل ما حسيتوا كتير هالموضوع خلاني أطرح أسئلة على حالي، يمكن هيدا من أهداف الفن بالإجمال. بس هيدا مش موضوعنا اليوم. الحلقة اليوم inspired actually من هيدا الحادث. من فترة قصيرة صار في الورلد بريمير لفيلم The Man Who Sold His Skin بفينيس فيلم فاستيفال. الفيلم من إخراج المخرجة التونسية كوثر بن هنيا، يلي أكتشلي شافت تيم بمتحف لوفر، وهون بلشت فكرة الفيلم. The Man Who Sold His Skin رح يمثل تونس بالأوسكارز لبست فورين فيتشر فيلم. رح انتقل لضيوف اليوم ليخبرونا هن أكتر عن الموفي. مع اليوم يحيى مهايني، يلي كمان ربح بست أكتر عن الموفي بفينيس فيلم فاستيفال، وديا ليان. رح نعمل الحلقة exceptionally in English. Hi يحيى. Hi ديا. Welcome to Creative Scene.
Hi.
Hi إليان.
كيفكن؟
Thanks for having us. تمام. We're doing great. Thank you so much.
Before we start,
I'm doing great. I can't speak on behalf of Dea.
I think she will say now she's doing great as well.
I'm doing great. I confirm.
Before we start our discussion, can you please tell us more about you, especially that you both have a kind of low profile online, and I would love to know more about that as well.
Sure. Would you like to start there?
Yeah, okay.
Go for it.
Okay, so I'm a French actress, but I'm from Syria and Lebanon, kind of mixed origins. So I'm mainly a theater actress, so that's maybe why there are not many things on internet, because it's kind of a more discreet network. I've been acting in a lot of theater plays in France, Paris, and other cities like in the last 3-4 years. And that's mostly what I do. And so that movie was kind of first experience in cinema. So it was by chance that I just saw the announce and just met Kauthar and Yahya and all the team. So that's mainly what I can say. So I'm mainly a theater actress. I also did like political science studies in Paris. So
so you were born and raised there in Paris?
No, I was born in Damascus. Both my parents are Syrian, but with Lebanese origins.
Okay.
So I was born in Damascus. It's kind of complicated because when I was 2 years old, we came to France. Then we came back to Lebanon for 3 years. So I lived in Lebanon 3 years. And then we came back to France. So we were kind of going and coming back between the two regions. So so I can speak Arabic, of course. But in fact, for the movie, I worked a lot on my Arabic because, when I met Kauthar, it was very hard for me to speak in Arabic because I have left my family for many years, so I wasn't used to speak in Arabic, but I had to take the Syrian accent with like really the Damascus accent, you know. Yahya knows a lot about it. So it was very strong to come back to that language for the movie.
Yeah. How about you, Yahya?
I kind of have a in the sense of growing up, it's somewhat similar to Dea in the sense that I'm born in Damascus and lived part of my childhood there, but then emigrated to Canada and moved, did a lot of back and forth between Canada and Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And then some more moving after I left Canada about the age of 16. But I think we share that background. And I think just as a small parenthesis, we also share obviously a struggle with the language because we don't use it on a daily basis. I mean, the problem with my Syrian is I have a strong Damascus accent.
Yeah.
And very archaic words and a lack of vocabulary, you know? So it sounds more like Bab al-Hara a little bit when I speak. And I had to kind of calm that down for the film. So it was funny because we were both adapting, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was nice because it ended up working really well, even though it was a lot more work for Dea, and we managed to both kind of find our balance and meet halfway. Regarding my background, I mean, acting was a serious ambition maybe 7 years ago. But to be honest, I kind of let it go because I couldn't live from it.
Mm.
I did mainly short films, student films, and that helped me get used to having a camera in front of me or pointed at me, which I think is perhaps one of the hardest parts of just acting, for being normal despite the fact that there's all that pressure in the camera on you. And then I kind of quit acting, to be honest, and because I couldn't live from it. And in the professional world, it was just too tough to land any interesting roles apart from Angry Iraqi Man number one and Kebab Seller. eventually this role came out of nowhere and it worked out.
So you weren't actually working in acting?
No, I wasn't living from it. I mean, I was doing, okay. I was doing projects with student films, yeah. Semi-professional films. I mean, I say student films and semi-professional, but frankly, they're professional. It's just because there's no money, it's very hard to get things off the ground and efficiently and whatnot. But they're nevertheless projects which I held dearly because, you know, it's the same type. It's Kauthar basically, but years ago. You know, it's just people who are creative, who have good script, who have a good story,
but no money.
But don't necessarily exactly. So it's not that big of a difference in the end. It's just perhaps there's a sizes adjustment. But So I know I had not done a role in a feature film, let alone the lead male role.
And now you got the best actor. Wow, that's a good start.
It hasn't gone into my head yet.
That's good, I think.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to watch the movie yet, at least in Lebanon. Yeah. I know it has been premiered in El Gouna Film Festival in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
The public release will be on December 16, if I'm not mistaken. So can you please tell us
that date?
It has been changed, I think.
Sorry.
Again.
Yeah.
I think
the date has been shifted January, slightly.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll get to watch it soon, let's say.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, can you tell us more about it and about each of your characters in the movie?
Sure. I'll start on this one, Leah. So, basically, no, you did well, Elian, in mentioning the work of Wim Devoe and Tim Steiner's back, because that was the inspiration to Kauthar's film. And incidentally, she's also she also wrote the script. So apart from being the director, she wrote the script.
Mm.
And inspired by the work of Wim Devoe on Tim Steiner's back, she wrote up the story of Sam Ali, a young, sensitive, impulsive young man who finds himself as a refugee in Lebanon, unable to reach his beloved Abir, who lives in Belgium, who got married to a man for, different family pressure reasons and whatnot. So he has no visa to travel to Belgium in order to kind of win her over.
Okay.
From the situation she finds herself in. So he's, you know, he's a refugee essentially in Lebanon with no visa. And then by going at art galleries and stealing food from buffets, he ends up meeting Soraya, who's played by Monica Bellucci, who kind of belittles him. And witnessing the scene, Jeffrey Godfrey, the artist, who's played by Koun Debeau, takes interest in this young Sam Ali. And after they have a drink, after this encounter where he gets caught red-handed stealing from the buffet about to steal from the buffet, offers him a Faustian pact, which is to allow Jeffrey Godfrey to tattoo Sam Ali's back. In consideration, Sam Ali accepts essentially to do what Tim Steiner accepted to do, which is to go to museums, exhibit his back for X number of hours, travel wherever necessary. At each sale, he gets 1/3 of the resale value. So it's not bad if you consider how much the works of art sell for. He finds himself in a situation where he accepts because it's his means of getting a visa, becoming a commodity. A work of art becomes a means for him to be able to travel to Belgium and pursue his love for Abir. Now, obviously, that's kind of my summary on it. I don't know if you want to add anything there.
You said really what you said everything.
Perhaps what I would add is obviously then I think the key theme, obviously film is subjective and depends how you interpret it, but I think one of the key themes that Kauthar was trying to achieve, and which I know I may be biased, but I believe she achieved it very skillfully, is to play on this idea of to provoke thought on the idea of freedom and what it represents. And to some extent, from my subjective point of view, it's also one of dignity, even though both are obviously deeply interlinked. But the dignity of an individual who essentially agrees, like quid pro quo, to do something they would not ordinarily accept to do for the sake of having something better, which in this case is a visa. But you mentioned Tim again, but Tim, even during the first confinement, during the corona, believe it or not, he was sitting in an empty museum in Australia with a camera pointed at him.
Yeah.
I mean, there were obviously no visitors in the museum. So basically, it was just a camera pointed at this guy who's sitting for 7 hours or 8 hours on end in a museum in Australia. And I thought he actually wanted to do that, you know? He got into a rhythm of doing that. So there you can ask yourself the question, well, what's wrong with that? You know, he chose to do with his back what, you know, other people choose to do with other of their body parts, etc. And he seems to be addicted to it. And he's happy to do it, even though there's only a camera pointed at him. Mm. Might as well just take a picture. It would be the same effect. But taking a step back for a second, when you consider that what is being bought and sold is Tim, because that's the work of, that's the name of the tattoo, which is on his back, and that's the name of the Wim Devoe's work of art.
Yeah.
So in parallel, the work of art on Sam Ali's back is called Sam. So ultimately what you're buying and selling is Sam. And that's dehumanizing, you know, from the perspective of Sam Ali, who's quite a you know, he's got his dignity, he's proud, and he doesn't like to be, you know, manhandled by all these people in the art world.
Especially that he's an Arab, and we know the Arab ego is a bit, you know, different.
I mean, I think, to be honest, I think this transcends, you know, culture and nationality, or, you know, I think it's just humanly, when you notice that people are taking not interest in who you actually are, but in something that's on you, you know, eventually it gets to you. And I think, you know, people, I mean, maybe perhaps an imperfect analogy is the fact that, you know, people who are admired purely for their looks end up feeling, I mean, I don't know, but I've heard this from a few friends who are very good looking. You know, they get fed up with it. You know, it's admire me for who I am and not for what I look like. You know, I made no effort to look like this. But meantime, what I am and what I know and, you know, what I communicate verbally or non-verbally is much more valuable than my appearance, which anyway is going to evolve.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit different when it comes to, if we want to compare it to Tim or Sam Ali, they actually did the tattoo. And part of it was to actually exhibit that tattoo. So you're actually asking for attention. It's not like if you're born very very good looking. It's not the same. So I had a lot of questions in my introduction about it. And no, I understand that Tim did something on his back, and that's his right. That's his body. But at the same time, there's something. I don't know. It felt weird. It felt a bit. You know, I wasn't comfortable with the story or with what Tim did, or in this case with what Sam Ali did in the movie as well, and I can't pinpoint why. So I wanted to, since you've acted that person, I wanted to know, what were you feeling while doing that, while feeling like a commodity and not like a human?
Yeah, I see what you mean, and I think without trying to spoil the story, but I think, I mean, to begin with, it's a tattoo that he didn't design, and so you know, people get tattoos, but when you design your tattoo, it's beautiful because it's part of who you are. But when something is imposed on your back and it takes up your whole back, that to begin with is something you have to accept for the rest of your life, and so that's something that Sam Ali has to accept for the rest of his life. Okay.
Yeah.
And then but in the story, what really gets to Sam Ali, what Kautar has integrated, is essentially a succession of humiliations that come on the back, you know, no pun intended, but on the back of this pact that Sam Ali agrees, you know, because it's the fact that it's not just the fact that he gets a huge tattoo tattooed on his back, which, you know, in principle is permanent unless you invest, I don't know how much, in laser removing it.
Yeah.
But then it's the fact that everyone is attributing an importance to him on the pure basis of that quote unquote work of art and its attribution to a famous international artist. And then what the reactions of his entourage become, you know, his friend, who with whom he works and lives in Beirut, his mom, you know, people from an organization for the help of Syrian refugees, who then, you know, also belittle him by saying, you know, this is not normal. By the husband of Abir in the film, who's played by Saad Lestan, who also makes very derogatory comments, and then just the whole questioning of, you know, did I actually sell my back, or did I sell my soul? What, you know, what did I get into? These are the sort of questions which obviously then end up haunting this character up to a certain point where, you know, there's a slight tipping point, but I don't want to spoil the film.
Yeah.
But maybe we could add something about that. It's just that the originality of Kautar's movie is that, I mean, the motivation of Sam Ali is mainly his love I mean, that is why, I mean, if you take just some person that wants to travel and get a lot of money and get to be known, it's not exactly the same motivation than this character in this movie, which is motivated from the beginning to the end by a kind of love that you cannot, I mean, find today with this. I mean, it's a kind of love that, I mean, just... I don't know. It's nobody loves like that today. It's kind of crazy. I mean, to do things like that. It's a tale. I mean, that's maybe what I wanted to say. What is really incredible about that is just that Kauter didn't make just a political movie or a movie about art. It's a tale where she put, I mean, so many problematics. I don't know how to say, so many questions that cross into each other, and I feel that all Sam's behavior is kind of saved in the movie by an attitude that he has to be always motivated by his love, motivated by his he has a kind of humor. I don't know how to say. I mean, he has a sense of humor. Yeah. You know, he has a distance to his situation. At some point he loses it. I mean, he finds himself trapped in that. And when my character, which is Abir, which is his beloved one, finds that he did that to himself, it's a kind of deception. So, and then I don't want to spoil the rest of the movie, but freedom is... it's also a kind of, everything is in mirror, you know. He locked himself in that situation, and my character locked herself in a marriage in which she isn't happy, in which she doesn't believe. So the theme of freedom is kind of diffracted. I don't know how to say, in many aspects in the movie. I don't know if it's clear, but that's just what I could add to what you were saying.
Yeah, and while I was reading about the movie, actually, I totally agree with you. I always, I felt that love is the primary theme, because whatever Sam Ali did, he was driven by love. He wanted to be loved and loved in return. So that was just means to an end. So I get that it was... you know, mixed with the idea of freedom, the idea of human dignity and all of this. But, you know, humans were always driven by this sense of we want to be loved and loved in return. And this is our driving force.
No, that's really important in the movie, you know. I mean, most of the times people just don't take seriously love movies. Films about love. I mean, it's kind of, it's a sentimental comedy, or it's a, you know,
exactly.
It's a kind of, I mean, in the world of author cinema, of how do you say, of independent cinema, I mean, you cannot see very often movies of that quality, which one of the central theme are just a love story, but, you know, the same love stories that you can read in a tale, you know, which, I mean, it's really that, you know, at some point of the movie, the character says, my princess is in prison. I have to save her. You know, it's very, very much that. And so that's also the poetry of the movie. It's not just the harsh reality of an immigrant, and love is not the central theme. I think freedom is really the central theme, but I think love is the moteur. I don't know how to say
the motor,
driving
the
force.
Driving force, and it's important to say that because it's really beautiful in a movie of this kind to take seriously the question of love, and also with you know, things very just. It's not just a drama. It's love with all its very little things, you know. It's also funny at sometimes. It's very immature at sometimes. It's a I don't know how to express
it's complicated,
but it's,
let's put it this way. Love is not a very very simple notion.
It's a kind of a courageous from Kauthar of having mixed all that themes into this the one movie. And it's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
Actually, in one of her interviews, she says, you don't have a choice when you're a refugee. When you don't have much of a choice, what does it mean to be free or to seek freedom? So I wanted to know your answers to this question, whether it's your characters, how they answered these questions throughout the movie, or even you, because you both come from different countries, so you have that in you. When you're a refugee, what does it mean to be free or to seek freedom?
I mean, me personally, I don't think I can even pretend to be in a position to answer this question really, because I've never been a refugee, and it must be very difficult because I've never been in a position where I've had to flee my country for, I mean, we emigrated to Canada, but I was so young, and perhaps that's a question which is better put to my parents. But I mean, I kind of understand the context in which Kauthar put it, and it's essentially the context in which it's put in the film. It's that here, what's stopping Sam Ali from traveling to Belgium to make an effort to win over Abir from the person that she ended up marrying for whatever reason, even though deep inside her she doesn't want to do it, is a piece of paper. It's essentially, it's a sticker which is put on a passport. It's a visa. And so for him, in his circumstances, his freedom, his goal, the only obstacle that's standing between him and his goal is this visa, the Schengen visa. And so what price are you willing to pay for that? You know, some people enter into fake marriages for 5 years. Other people pay loads of money. You know, other people take a boat, you know, risk, put their lives at risk in order to just get there, you know. And so I suppose it's different to each person, but here again, the you know, in the film it's love, but it can just be a better means of living, you know, a better way of just, you know, feeling, identifying or with yourself personally, of being épanoui. I don't know how to say épanoui, but self-satisfied, of seeking something else, especially
fulfilled,
if you're young. Yeah, fulfilled, exactly. Nice one, Leon. and so I think it's a very subjective. I don't know what's your take on that. And I, you know, I put the question to you, Leon. I mean, what do you think about it, or Dea?
Well, as you said just earlier, I'm it's difficult for me to be from the perspective of a refugee, because like you, I just came in France. I mean, in a kind of very peaceful situation. So I don't really know what it's like. But I mean, sure, what I, from the perspective of my character, I mean, she represents a kind of person who just at some, at a moment, I mean, she decided to make a choice, which is to marry someone she doesn't love in order to have a better situation and to come to Europe and to flee from her country. So that's mostly what she does. I mean, it's a decision she makes. So what is very sad is, I mean, I would love, a world where Syrian people, for example, could be happy and want to stay in Syria, you know, because it's a beautiful country. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's the same for Lebanon. I'm really sad when I see that so many, many young Lebanese just fly away, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult question for me. And I have always lived in France. And when I go back to Lebanon or Syria, I can feel that there is something just left behind. And it is so sad. It's really, it affects me, you know, every day. And, but what can you do? You know, sometimes I think about the life I would have had if I had stayed in Syria. And I can take, for example, my cousin, you know, who lives there. And it is just, I'm speaking about me. It's not very about refugees. It's about immigration in general. Yeah. So sorry, I lifted a little bit, but I'm a French woman. I'm living, in a total freedom, I can be an actress. I can earn my money. I can choose who I'm going to marry. I can, there are many things. I can just walk in the streets. I can make many things, do many things. And today, I'm just so sad. I think it would be so beautiful. To have that in my country of origin, but I got it here.
Yeah, that was actually my next question. So we're seeing now another huge wave of immigration across all the Arab world. Do you think of it as the Arab world losing its potential, like you said now, Deya, or we're having now ambassadors all over the world? And do you still count it as Arab talents? Do you consider yourself as, now when you were talking about yourself, you said you were a French woman. So do you consider yourself an Arab, or... You kind of lost that.
That's the big question I want to resolve in all my life. It's just I'm just living in a kind of entre deux. Kind of I'm always unsatisfied. Yeah. When I'm here, I long to be there, and when I'm there, I long to be here. It's a kind of I don't consider as a French person. It's very complicated for me sometimes to understand how people live here. I was raised in a very, strong Syrian culture, and I don't consider myself as an Arab either. When I prepared the character of Abir, I went to Syria for 2 weeks because I wanted to speak Arabic and be with my family and, be a kind of the atmosphere, to imagine the character. And I could feel when I was there that I wasn't like them, I would always be a stranger when I go there. It's when you leave, you cannot go back. There's a hole between the. It's very difficult. So but I think that in all my work as a French actress here, when I have the opportunity to do it, I put in my work all the images, the imaginary, all the things that I care inside me, that I carry inside me, which comes from my culture of origin, which comes from Lebanon, from Syria. I can do that. That thing, I can do it. But I couldn't say that I'm Arab or French, or I'm just something between the two, and I'm trying to express the difficulty of being between the two, and I'm trying to put that in my work today. That's what I can say. I don't know if Yahya, you feel the same or different, but
I'm with you on the fact that when you move around, it's more difficult to kind of situate what your identity is. But I think personally, it's also one of those questions which are hard to resolve. I think from my perspective is that, I went to a conference, a university conference, on what is national identity in France. That was a big topical debate in France like 6-7 years ago, if I remember correctly. What does it mean to be French? And so I guess my question to you, Liane, in order to answer your question properly, is what do you consider it? What is it to be Arab? Is it just the language? Is it where you're born? Is it the nationality? How do you define being Arab?
I don't think I have the definition on being an Arab, but I think it's how everyone present themselves. If someone asks me, introduce yourself. So I would say I'm a Lebanese woman living in Lebanon. So it's part of and how I. Probably how I act is the Lebanese culture, or maybe the Arab culture in general, is incorporated a lot in how I act, how I act around people, what do I do? So there's the cultural component is very important and is a, and it plays a big role in how I don't know how we act in life. I don't know if I'm
that's no 100%. I'm with you. I think, I mean, as you're speaking, I'm answering also the question for myself. So in a sense, yeah. Because it helps me also. But as you started by saying it's a question of self identification.
Yeah, and of belonging as well,
and
because
and of belonging. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And of culture in the end, you know.
And that affects art yeah. in general and creativity, because it's very much affected by your culture.
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, me personally, there's some things in the culture which I'm happy to identify with, and others which I take distance from.
Hmm.
And there's some which I feel like are harder to really pinpoint in any single culture, you know, because yeah. you know, for example, I don't know the culture of you know. This over generosity with guests when they come over, you know, this is typically
yeah, exactly,
an Arab thing.
Exactly.
You know? Someone comes over, you have to force feed them, you know, yeah. you have to, to offer them 50 things. You know, this is characteristically for me, at least, you know, quite an Arab mm-hmm. cultural things that a no does not mean no. No means maybe, but you have to insist 6-7 more times.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just one example among others. But then there are other cultural things which are slightly more negative and unfortunate. And I think Dea is right, as you touched on it, Dea, to some extent, even though I'm not sure I agree with you 100% in saying that you can't walk around the streets in Syria. I mean, maybe not now, but previously you could. And certainly in other places you can. But I think, you know, there's still a lot of work, I think, to be done, not just in the Arab world, but in the world more generally, in just what is the status of women in any given society. And I forgot who said it, but if you want to see how a society is cultivated, you look at how women in that society are treated. Something Khan said that, and for me, I mean, that is just that again transcends culture, and I think to some extent it is in culture, but that's just more like family, upbringing, education, and mm-hmm. each individual's own perspective of what is your ego and what is your relationship to others. But this is getting slightly esoteric and philosophical.
Yeah, I'm trying to tie it with Sam Ali's story and the movie, and I was thinking about what I was saying at the beginning of our talk, that I think love is the primary theme. And now maybe I think that if Abir wasn't in Belgium, would he have immigrated, or he found something where he can feel he belongs? I don't know if now I'm being esoteric.
Yeah. Would he, I mean, if the question is where is Abir? You know, if she's not in Belgium, I mean, if she was in, I don't know, Timbuktu, as we say in Arabic, or yeah. Papua New Guinea or Antarctica, I think he would have tried to go there. I mean, I don't know what type of visa Syrians need to go to those places, but his aim, and this to double down on what Dea was saying, this is really the love element is you know, one of the central elements in this story, and one of the driving forces for the motivation for Sam Ali.
Yeah.
It's his love for Abir. Now, why is he so obsessed with Abir? That's different questions, you know, which come in the character preparation. But, you know, apart from the fact that she's smoking hot, you know, she also reciprocates in her love to Sam, which himself is, you know, a bit of a, you know, how do you call those, you know, a free spirit, so to speak, but someone who's never really found the love really as pure as the one he's found with Abir, and the fact that she likes him for who he is. So ultimately, when we find something so unique and precious, I mean, it makes it much easier to be willing to go to great lengths in order to obtain it, or not obtain it, but at least secure it, because he already obtained her love, but he failed to secure it.
And maybe if we have an identity crisis, let's put it this way, that we don't know, we can't pinpoint our identity, we're always trying to find someone or something that can, you know, ground us and make us feel that we belong, we have ties here. I don't know.
Yes, and that's exactly what happens between them, because what is really nice about the love theme in the movie is that their love relationship evolves during the movie. Mm. And it's just as, you know, they could make themselves become better persons, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. At first, it's kind of a love story. Like, you know, when you like it's just like a kind of coup de foudre, you know? How do you say that in English? Love at first sight, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Very strong, very with glitter and everything.
Mm.
And it's just as if during the movie that love becomes more profound, because the love passes a number of tests, you know? It's just, you know, when you just discover that someone is not so perfect, you know, that person made some very bad choices, that person can disappoint you, that person, you know, and finally they really become like comrades, you know, like really they choose to be free together and, you know, and to be kind of a home for one another, you know?
Yeah.
And so yeah, so that's really what you're saying, that they could live anywhere together. I mean, they are a force, you know, they're complementary.
Yeah,
that is kind of a nice way of seeing love.
Yeah, I think it's nice what you said. There will be each other's home. So that's a very nice image.
Because it's a theme in the movie a lot. I mean, we worked a lot about that, you know.
Mm.
So because Sam and Abir, they have it's not in the movie because it has been cut, but there is all this theme that is we're going to have a house together.
Yeah.
And they have this dream of being in Syria, being in some like paradise in Syria, you know, in the nature and with a big garden and a house. And it was a theme when we worked on the characters. It was something very strong that they had this dream together of having a place of their own, you know.
Yeah.
And that dream is being il est maltraité quoi. Is being bad treated by all the events. But finally, what becomes their dream is just being together.
Mm.
Whoa. Wherever, you know.
Yeah.
So well that's
until Sam Ali like gains like 30 kilos, gets a huge tummy, you know, goes
that's in the movie or
no this is part two. This is when Abir realizes like, what am I doing with this guy?
I can do better.
Let's stay in the dream. And
on a general note, I want to know more about acting in general. I'm interested in knowing, what do you think are the aspects we can borrow from acting when you're building your characters and you're building this, you know, person that could be completely different than who you are? So what can we borrow from acting as a discipline to benefit other creative disciplines?
That's a very good question. I think for me personally, I need to reflect on it for about 30 seconds because
sure.
I don't have an answer immediately.
You were saying how acting can make us be creative.
Yeah, more creative. Exactly. What can we learn from acting as other creatives?
I think you understood the question there. Do you want me to...
So the
way I understand the question is in actors customarily have to get into the skin and mind of a character which is distant to or different to themselves.
Exactly.
And therefore, Eliane's question is what tools or skills or other aspects of this experience of acting can be transposed to just ordinary life as, you know, Arabs adapting to different situations. Is that right? Is that fair?
Yeah, it's more about other creatives and other disciplines.
Other creatives.
What can they borrow from acting?
You know, I've taken the time while also repeating the question to kind of think about it a little bit more. It's because it's a great question, but I think it cross-cuts so many disciplines. And I think the main thing, I think, is to imagination, you know, because, I mean, personally, in my work as an actor, I rely a lot on imagination. I don't know what your techniques are, but I think when you use your imagination, you take a little bit of moment to cut off all the distractions and to just imagine things and kind of be dreamy about it. You know, put your phone away, you know, put all those things away and just play with your thoughts a little bit with your fantasies, and not put any limitations upon yourself, which others or anything or society or no conventions would place upon you. That kind of allows you to give something which is original, something fresh, something truer to your identity. I'm not actually sure that I've achieved this in Sam Ali, but I think through Sam Ali, but maybe it's perhaps more of an aspiration what I'm discussing rather than skill. But just to be able to use your imagination and your curiosity, you know, just to sustain your curiosity in a way which is not just limited to your own field, but also about other fields. Because there's just too much specialization nowadays, you know, too many specializations. And in fact, I mean, just to give you one example, you go into, actually, that's a bad example. Never mind. But I mean, it's not a telling example. But no, let me just say it anyway, whatever, because since the inspiration came. But for example, you know, when we're preparing for the role of Sam and Abir, and we did some early rehearsals, Dea kind of brought something which really inspired me. She had used her imagination because, you know, when you read a script, you have the script. You're not told what happens in between the different scenes, you know? And sometimes months pass between the different scenes that are included in the script. And so that's something I had not really attributed much importance to. And at the first like 5-day rehearsals that me and Dea had, Dea rocks up with an entire notebook, an entire notebook of what she had written about what goes on between the different scenes.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm like, what the heck is that? You know, and she's like, well, that's what happens in between. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's,
she has a parallel script.
Yeah, I mean, because she really went all the way in using her imagination. And I'm not saying this just, you know, to throw sunshine at you. It actually was a very important tool that allowed me to prepare for the role subsequently.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out, you know, how he reacts in times of adversity, how he reacts in times of strength, of superiority, of you know, positions of power, etc. Sorry, this is more of an example in relation to the using the imagination.
And I don't know if I can add something, or maybe we're out of time, but
no, you can go ahead.
Yes, and I totally agree with you, Yahya. And I mean, this thing of the notebook, it was also because, you know, some characters, I mean, my character had a very, you know, there were like months between my scenes, you know, because you find her in Syria, then you find her 1 year later there. And it was very difficult for me to imagine what could make me, you know, be just a real person and not just a character. But about your question, I'm trying to see what, I mean, for example, I'm also a pianist and also I write a lot. So I have many like creative activities, which is very important for me. And I know that theater and acting brought something to me which I can use in all the, in everything else, which is, you know, finding like the right precise place between yourself and the other person, which you have to interpret, you know. It's kind of what you put of yourself, what you put of your emotions, and you put it for another story, which isn't yours. But you have to be sincere, you know, and that's how I see acting. I always try to be sincere and not to be overlooking on myself, not to be over. I want to give you something, but to be like in this tiny place between the two. I don't know if it's clear.
Yeah, I think but, I got the picture. Yeah,
and I think it's the same, you know, when you. I don't know. Acting is a school of freedom. I mean, I think, you know, because not to be the slave of, I mean, when you play the piano, for example, you play some piece of, I don't know, Chopin or someone, you can be the slave of the technique or you can be, I mean, you can just do, I mean, something that is very bad, you know, just doing, I mean, something that isn't what it is, what, I mean, so, and you have to find your freedom into a lot of contraintes, I don't know how to say, of
constraints,
you know, and you have to find a sincerity in the lie, which is,
that's nice.
Yeah. You know?
So that's what I feel also when I'm writing, you know, I'm writing something. So I have to put my heart in it. So it has to be sincere. It has to be necessary, you know. You cannot just do that. I mean, that's what I see.
That's a nice way of saying it, yeah.
But it has also to be free, and you know, it has also to be with fantasy. I mean, with the fantasy. The fantasy, yeah. It's not fantasy. It's I mean, and that is what I think you can apply in all creative works, you know, just to find this tiny thing. And we are all trying to do that. And sometimes it's hard, you know, in a shooting, sometimes you don't have a thing. I mean, you're just like looking at it technically. And I mean, it's really rare the moments where you just find yourself like, entirely in the right place, you know, between, I mean, yeah, in the, it's a kind of very tiny feeling, but
completely got that.
Yeah. And it's great that, because that's this, you're bridging these gaps between, you know, the different creators, Elian, so that's, you know, that's much strength to you. I mean, it's great what you're doing with these podcasts, and I have yet to discover the other ones properly.
Thank you so much.
But isn't that's essentially what you're aiming to achieve, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's bridging the gap between. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you so much, Yahya, and thank you so much, Deya, for joining me today. I can't wait to see the movie and see what we talked about. If it really hits. The ideas that people will get, the questions that people will get. So hopefully we'll get to see it soon.
Yeah.
I hope you like it.
I think I will. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Elian. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
إذا بدكم تفاصيل أكثر عن البودكاست شوفوا الويب سايت creativescene.me وإنستغرام creative scene podcast وشارت مع عالم that might like it. كان معكم إليان جبر بشوفكم جمعة الجاي.